In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. This is Pastor Greg Huffman. Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. You know, one of the sweetest things that you can hear somebody say to you is a question. Hey, how can I pray for you today? Wow. You know, when you got somebody that asks you that question, you know that you have encountered someone that cares about you. We can talk about a lot of things that take up a lot of time. I know a lot of people that talk about sports, or they talk about fishing or hunting or making quilts or whatever. But do we talk much about God? Do we focus much of our attention on praying for one another? One of the sweetest passages of Scripture that we'd like to consider this time is found in the first chapter of Colossians. The Apostle Paul talks specifically about how he was going to pray for the church at Colossae. Again, the beginning of Paul's prayer informed us that he was praying for these believers to walk worthy of their God. That's quite a statement. Good statement for us, too, isn't it? That we would walk worthy of God. You know, many times years ago, as we would leave the home, our parents would say, "Now remember what your last name is," because we represented that family when we left those walls. Wherever we went, we represented that family. Same thing is true for us today. We represent the family of God. And so as a result of that, the Apostle Paul said in verse 9, I'm reading in Colossians chapter 1, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's just the beginning of his sentence. But it's interesting that the Apostle Paul deals specifically with what he's praying for. I'm afraid so many times when we pray for others, it's something like this: "And Lord, bless the missionaries, and Lord, bless our pastor, and Lord, bless our church, and Lord, bless, and Lord, bless, and Lord, bless." Now, God obviously wants to bless. But the Apostle Paul gives us more of a detailed study as to how to pray for one another. He says the first thing in verse 10 is that we would be fruitful. You know, the Lord Jesus taught us to bring forth fruit in John 15. And he said, "If you abide in me, then you will bring forth fruit." And so that is one of the things that we ought to begin to pray for one another, praying for our children, praying for our spouse, that they might be fruitful. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, right after Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that tells us, "For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship." That means we are his creation. "Created in Christ Jesus," for what purpose? "Unto good works, which God hath before we got saved ordained that we should walk in them." Now there's fruitfulness right there in Ephesians 2:10. In fact, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, and that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto you." The idea of maintaining good works, that means keep them up, keep them efficient. You know, if you've got a piece of equipment, it works great when you first get it, but then you use it so much and maybe kind of abuse it sometimes, and if you don't maintain your equipment, pretty soon it's going to fail. And that, in essence, is what the Apostle Paul is telling Titus. We are instructed to be careful to maintain good works. That simply means not just doing them out of habit, but doing them from the heart. That again gets back to abiding in Christ. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 14 of the same chapter, Titus chapter 3, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they not be unfruitful." So there it is again. We are instructed to be fruitful in all good works. Okay, so let's pause right now and ask yourself, what good works am I fruitful in? Can you name them? Or do you have to go back in your memory to what you used to do, what you used to be? I know I talk to a lot of folks, and they say, well, I used to be in the choir. I used to usher. I used to teach. I used to serve in Awana, or maybe I used to serve in the youth group. You know, many of us are used to beers. We used to be in the choir. We used to be in the nursery. But you see, the question is, what are you doing now? Somebody put it this way, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Get that? As long as you're alive, you have a purpose. And if you're not dead, you're not done. God is still wanting to work in you and through you. And so he said, the first thing that I'm praying for you is that you might be fruitful. That's a great place to start in our prayers for our family, our prayers for our dear friends, our prayers for our pastors, our prayers for the spiritual leaders in our church. Fruitful. Then he goes on to say, I am praying that you might be learning. He says, for this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we don't cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. Verse 10, he says, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, one of the things that God has designed trials to do in your life is to cause you to learn more about who God is. In fact, three questions you ought to ask every time you're going through a trial. What do I need to learn about God? What do I need to learn about others? And what do I need to learn about myself? What is God trying to reveal to myself? How about others? They're not the enemy. Satan is always the enemy. How about God? What is it about God that I need to learn as to who he is? And so consequently, we see then that he's praying that they would be increasing in their knowledge of God. I don't know if that means he's praying that they might have more trials and testings or not. But you see, the Bible is very clear that God's plan for us is that we grow in our understanding. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he starts out his letter to that church in a similar way. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Father. In other words, God's watching all this. Okay, what is it? The work of faith. See, that's a change of purpose. When you get saved, God changes your purpose. He gives you a new purpose. And then he says your labor of love. That's a change of passion. That's a new drive within your life as to why am I alive? Why am I here? A labor of love. It's a change of passion. And then he says patience and hope. That's a change in persistence. You are continuing on, continuing on. Oh, yes, you'll face some roadblocks, you'll face some hurdles, you'll face some major obstacles that you don't feel like you can get over, and you can't. But God can. And you'll discover that you'll have a change in persistence because God teaches you to be patient in hope. And then lastly, in the sight of God, that's a change in perspective. A change in perspective. Because we are serving for an audience of one. Of one. And so when you begin to see that God wants you to increase in the knowledge of God, that means your purpose will change, your passion will change, your persistence will change, and your perspective will change. All of that is in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And so as we are praying that our children and our spouses and our pastors and our good friends will be increasing and learning, we're also focusing our attention on that in our own lives. Now, go back to Colossians chapter 1. He also prays, not only increase in fruitfulness or increase in learning, but then he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. So he said, I begin to pray that you become stronger. Stronger. Yeah, your strength and mine, pretty puny. His strength, very powerful. You know, I know a lot of famous people that have powerful spiritual knowledge and charisma, but if they don't have love and kindness, they're ineffective. They're frauds. You see, God wants them to have power in God. God wants them to be growing in their strength. Now, it takes spiritual strength to develop patience. That's the very next thing. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience. See, it takes a strong person to be patient. Anybody can be impatient, but only a strong Christian is able to develop patience. Jot down James chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 and 4. See, here we're talking about patience that is, in essence, endurance. It says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or brings about patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. So consequently, as I develop my spiritual strength, I develop my spiritual patience. I'm able to wait. I'm able to stop pushing forward. I'm able to stop demanding, stop wanting to be in control. And so consequently, it's persevering during opposition patience. Now, a lot of people can say, okay, all right, fine, I'll wait, all right, okay. But they're not patient. They're pushing. See, this is the prayer. Persevering during opposition. Now, we have an example of that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul had a tremendous blessing of being able to see a vision of the third heaven, and then the Bible tells us that lest he should be exalted above measure because of the revelations, he says in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Patience during opposition. Take some time to read the rest of chapter 12. The next time we get together in a couple of days, we're going to be looking at that thorn in the flesh. Tune in next time we're together, and we'll discover what it means to have patience while we serve God. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.